Chef John Falls welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. From the swamps and bayous of South Louisiana, thanks for joining us in our little piece of culinary heaven where good cooking is just a way of life. Mornings begin here with a roux simmering in a cast iron pot, and our evenings end with thoughts of what we're going to cook tomorrow. All right, everybody, welcome to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio, the best cultural show on radio, and I want to thank you for being here with us. I want to begin by introducing Michelle Yark, our executive producer, sitting at the table first and foremost here with a big, what is that, an apple turnover?
Yeah, you want a little bite?
Well, I'll take the whole thing before you bite into it, and you can have a little bite, huh? It looks very nice. How you been? Dog days of August here.
And a very happy anniversary.
Today's the anniversary show.
This is our anniversary. 16 years today.
16 years today. I didn't have any idea. Are you kidding me?
I wanted to be a surprise. Happy anniversary.
Well, what's my gift? That apple turtle?
Yeah.
I see. Shlama.
You can have the whole thing.
Shlama. 16 years I've made her a superstar on radio, and I get an apple turnover.
But hey, what did I get in this industry?
What did you get? You got notoriety and fame. You got notoriety and fame hanging out with me around here, huh? No, you know what I mean, Shlama?
16 years.
16
wow, congratulations,
years.
Guys. That's really something.
Man, I wish we had our first show that we could play some excerpts, but we lost that show.
I know.
Our first ones are gone, you know, first one. Anyway, y'all, also across the glass wall, our engineer, our sound guy, keeping us alive and well, Dean Shlama. What's going on, Dean?
Just trying to imagine what I was doing 16 years ago.
Yeah, he was probably like in fourth grade or something.
I remember our first show like it was yesterday.
I wasn't there for the first show.
No, I know you weren't.
I listened on the radio, though. That's before you knew me.
You didn't listen to our first show, I don't think.
If it wasn't the first, it was the second.
So you were stalking me.
A friend of mine was your producer at that time.
Yeah, see that? And she was thinking, how did that happen? I could have gotten that job. And then I met her and I said, you should have been here since the beginning. Look at all of this. I said, look at all of this.
I came along 6 months later.
Then, of course, Shlama, like bad grass, you can't get rid of it. You can do whatever you want.
No.
You can't like bad grass. 16 years she's been around. Huh?
Got the deep roots.
Anyway, y'all, so it's a good day today. My pigs are growing over at White Oak. My chickens are brooding nicely. The fact is, my peeps got out of the little brooding cage over at Now I have 36 heirloom breed chickens running around. Fact is, if you go, what's the website? If you go to jfalls.com.
That's right.
Go to jfalls.com.
Absolutely.
Click on the left and you go to White Oak Farm. You're going to see my chicken house. In fact, I took a picture of my chicken house to bring over to the feed store. They say this ought to be on the cover of every chicken magazine in America just to show this house. Because it is the
Coupe de Ville.
Chicken Coupe de Ville, we call it. Anyway, everything's going good. The herb garden's growing really nice. Our flowers are in. You know, it's a hot time of year, but it's a time when you got to work your garden.
I'm going to go ahead and confess right now. You might see a few sprigs of herbs missing from the garden.
Oh, you've taken some of mine.
Well, because it's summer, and these are kind of what I like to call salad days.
Yeah, salad days.
And I may need a few little extra herbs.
Slum, now she has an herb garden. She has an herb garden at home.
Well, I have rosemary.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. My rosemary is beautiful. And I have tarragon. But the basil leaves a lot to be desired. Stalk is this long. It's about 2 feet long, and the leaves are on the end.
And rosemary.
And no others.
And no more.
Shlama, in the family of herbs, or herbs. In the family of herbs, rosemary is the dinosaur because you cannot kill it. There's nothing you can do to destroy a rosemary bush. That's why she has one. The rest of our herbs, all of the... I will no longer invest in gifts of herbs. I started off at a 2-inch little box with every herb in America for her. When those died, I went to the 4-inch. I said, well, maybe she needs a deeper root system. So I gave a 4-inch and got every herb in the world. Because, I mean, she cooks now. You know, she cooks. So then I decided, well, okay, 6-inch. Let's go to 6-inch pot. And finally, I just had a truck deliver trees of herbs over there. And after one generation, they were gone.
I said, that's it.
But the rosemary is doing well.
The rosemary. I'm going to have a rosemary hedge here before too long. And this Christmas, I'm going to invest in one of those rosemary Christmas trees.
Okay.
Then you can plant it.
That's exactly right. It's got a little head start.
Well, I tell you what, you say you might need some oil and vinegar. I tend to agree with you. It is the salad days or something. Mm-hmm. We tend to eat lighter during the hotter days. In other words, we don't put quite as much rice on our sauce because, so we tend to eat a little bit lighter. But being a meat lover that I am, I like to top my slices of marinated beef with some of this oil and vinegar, rub it well, marinated and grilled, then put it on top of salad. You know, it makes me think I'm eating light. But really, it's the dressing that can make or break a salad or even a marinade, something like that. If it's too heavy, it can be overpowering. And if it doesn't have the right balance between oil and tart or sweet, you know, then it becomes just like a water on a salad. So, I mean, there's critical points that you have to meet for a great salad to become a great salad. And the dressing is a lot to do with it, obviously.
Well, you know, and it seems like vinegars are really stepping into the limelight. We have done vinegar tastings, but you know, vinegars, they're not that basic white distilled vinegar that most of us used to see in the kitchen cabinet.
Let me say right now, every base ingredient is the most important one in the cabinet. So, you know, there's all these flavored coffees, but a good Colombian blend of coffee is the most important thing. So you will always have a bottle, and the bottle will probably be bigger of the white distilled vinegar than any other flavor, because it is the base of everything you can make something else out of. So don't be ashamed of that bottle of white vinegar.
You know, I pulled it out of the cabinet the other day because my mama and my mom always put vinegar, salt, and pepper on cucumbers. And I had cucumbers,
see,
and
that?
I thought, I'm going to do this.
And black pepper.
And black pepper, and it was delicious. But vinegar is kind of that magic liquid. It's used for making pickles tart and free from bacteria. Vinegar, you use that to set the dye on colored Easter eggs.
Absolutely.
Vinegar is actually made from a corn base, which makes it very inexpensive. Every home keeps a bottle handy. But it's really, white distilled vinegar is really too harsh to use in cooking. So there are many other vinegar options, and almost any food containing sugar can be converted into vinegar. I just threw out some wine yesterday that I think it turned into vinegar.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have thrown it out.
I know. I'm just seeing that.
Well, you know, y'all, although white vinegar is often referred to as distilled, that's somewhat of a misnomer. The making of vinegar is more of a fermentation than a distillation process. The action of yeast causes fermentation of the sugars, which creates alcohol, and then bacteria acts on the alcohol, converting it a second time, turning it into vinegar. It's a two-step process of creating alcohol, and then vinegar is similar to distilling grain alcohols, but with vinegar, the end product is more of a sour wine than a bourbon, so to speak, you know?
You know, for a long time, apple cider vinegar was popular for salads.
Well, they only had two. They had white and they had apple cider. That was it.
And I have, in my cabinet, is apple cider vinegar as well. Kind of a tart, subtle, fruity flavor. Often you'll see these vinegars in farmers markets. They're sold unfiltered, and they're called, you know, on the label it says, and the mother of vinegar is in the bottle.
Oh, absolutely. That means it's alive. It's alive.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit, I've never noticed that on a bottle. It's the mother, a webby, sometimes gelled substance, is actually the result of the fermentation process. And just like a few weeks ago, we talked about dough starters, mother vinegar is used to make more vinegar.
Well, yeah, the thing about keeping the mother, which a lot of people are afraid of, they throw away vinegar when they see a mother, this kind of cloudy gel on top of the vinegar. But actually, that's the living process. And all you have to do is add like a bottle of red wine to it. And now that red wine is going to be converted immediately into vinegar because the mother, the starter, is in the bottle.
So you
had something going and you threw it away.
I had three bottles of red wine that had sat for quite some time. I went on a cleaning spree. And yesterday I thought, this is it. I've been saving this to cook with. It's going to just destroy whatever I cook.
That's right.
I tossed it.
You threw it away. And that's like that great explorer who found King Tut's tomb walking in and said, look at all this junk. Let's get out of here. Come on, let's move down the line a little bit. That's what you did with that vinegar.
That's exactly
that wine.
What I did.
Anyway, wine vinegar is another good option for food. It's usually made with a blend of red and white wine.
Here we go. I had it.
You see that? And if you knew somebody like me who's got like a big herb garden right outside, you can go right out there. You could infuse a few sprigs of herbs for additional flavor. You want to start with a good wine vinegar and one that has been aged a couple of years in wooden casks. Like fine wine, you know, cooks that have herb gardens, aged vinegars are become more complex, and yet they mellow the longer you keep them. You want to always, like you said, don't ever throw away your wine.
Which makes me think of traditional balsamic
vinegar. Oh, that's a whole other world.
That is another world. And actually, probably about 7 years ago, we were in Italy, and we did a balsamic vinegar tasting, different ages, 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 15, 20.
All the way up to 100 years. Cool. We tasted balsamic 100 years old.
And, and it was all of the casks. It went from these large ones to the smaller because it kept getting more intense in, in the intensity of flavor.
And that wasn't in Modena, which most people think Modena is where the vinegars are. This was actually in Parma. This was on the Po River in Parma, one of the oldest vinegars. You were there. You remember.
Yeah, it was great. They say that the balsamic vinegar actually starts as Trebbiano grapes. That's the base of the true balsamic vinegar. The grapes are left on the vine for as long as possible for the development of the sugar. The juice is then extracted, boiled, and after that, vinegar production actually begins. And we were actually at the balsamic vinegar factory where they did have all these wooden casks.
With the Trebbiano, yep, absolutely.
The wooden casks can be made from chestnut wood, mulberry, juniper, oak, cherry, all for the intention of aging and developing that sweet, sweet woody flavor. Once the vinegars are bottled, they carry a seal from the consortium of producers of the traditional balsamic vinegar.
Well, and they even rated, you know, leaves on the label determine the quality, four leaves being the highest quality. These balsamic vinegars can get really pricey, too. But there's also commercial balsamic, the kind you find in your grocery store, and most of it does not come from Italy. It won't carry a consortium seal without the board's regulation. And that's one of the big things people say, well, I'm not buying that expensive balsamic. Well, hey, look, real balsamic is expensive because it can be aged from 10 years all the way to 100. It's not your bulk vinegars. That's just blackballed balsamic.
And, you know, there are other lighter vinegars as well. Rice vinegar is a good example, good for sushi, or even with zucchini or squash dishes, stir fry. Another delicate vinegar is cane vinegar, and we're going to be talking more about that.
Made right here at Steen's is one. So anyway, y'all, Dean is telling us that it's time to take a break. So, Michelle, when we return, we're going to have someone who knows a lot about vinegar, and we want to talk about cane vinegar.
Absolutely.
That's what's in my little cast right now. I'll tell you that story in a minute. Y'all, we're going to be back in a second. Across the lake of vinegar, I rode my boat so far. But never come. The night was dark, and she was nowhere to be found.
Greetings, I'm Jake Abair.
And I'm Adam Chouard. Join us every Friday at midnight for the Sound Club radio program.
Your home for left-field pop gems from today to yesteryear.
Here on 88.7 FM, KRVS.
Hi, I'm Pete Bergeron. If your day starts early, like mine does, let's spend it together with Cajun music from 5 to 7 a.m. here at Public Radio for Acadiana, KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Catching flies with vinegar, offering my honey with a shot of bitters.
Welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best tasting food and culture show on radio, celebrating our 16th year in radio today, in fact. And Michelle, it's been a good long ride. Anyway, y'all, it's so nice to have you with us. And today, of course, we're talking about vinegars. So much popularity, growing popularity. And Michelle, we have a great, great guest with us today. Somebody I've known all about this company for quite a while, and also did a lot of research early on and again just recently, and now they're on the show. Why don't you introduce them?
Certainly. We have Matthew Moore with us today. He's Senior Vice President of Food Ingredients at MizCon Americas. Matthew not only heads up the food ingredients department, the home office there in Missouri, but he's also responsible for Creole Fermentation Company in Abbeville. Matthew graduated from the University of Arkansas, and you could kind of say that vinegar is in his blood. His family has been in the vinegar business for four generations, and even though they sold their plant to MizCon about a decade ago, Matthew continues to work with the new owners. Needless to say, he started learning the family business from the time he was about 12 years old, worked his way up over the years through every aspect of vinegar production, marketing. It just so happens that MizCon Company partners with the Steen family over in Abbeville, who we know very well, where they make the cane vinegar, and they provide vinegar to many of the hot sauce manufacturers in South Louisiana. They also create specialty vinegars, cooking wines, and denatured spirits for food use at their plant. So, all about vinegar today. Matthew, we are delighted to have you with us on Stirring It Up. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Miss Michelle, and thank you, Chef Foltz. I'm certainly glad to be here.
Well, hey, it's our pleasure to have you with us.
So, tell us about the vinegar business. You've been in it a long time, grew up in it. Four generations, I mean, that's quite a family history. What did you start doing in the family business at such a young age? What was your responsibility?
Everything from putting bottles in boxes to stacking boxes. I actually drove a forklift long before I drove a car, so I got started pretty early.
Matthew, you know, years ago, you know, the only vinegar we all knew about, especially in this country, was just that clear, sour, or tart liquid, you know, did everything from pickling vegetables to cleaning the kitchen sink, so to speak. When did you first see, or your family first start to see, vinegar start to evolve into the real place of prominence that they have in not only home kitchens, but professional kitchens as well around the country and the world? When did that happen?
And certainly we've seen tremendous growth the last 20 or 30 years, and we still call those specialty vinegars. When we look into red wine and white wine and rice vinegars have gained tremendous popularity, and certainly the balsamic vinegars, which are really a condiment on its own with the sugar level of a grape juice and the acidity level of a wine vinegar blended together. They're a bit different than other vinegars, but we've really seen just vinegars as a total category, because even that white vinegar continues to grow today. It's certainly used to make hot sauce or ketchup and pickles and things like that. But on the retail side, we're seeing a lot of uses in cleaning. It is a nice, very clean label, certainly economical. A gallon of white vinegar on the shelf is very reasonable, but it's a safe, clean, non-toxic cleaner. So it's kind of interesting to see at least the white vinegar. When we see numbers, it looks like it's about half for food uses and about half for cleaning purposes. So kind of interesting. Certainly all the other vinegars, the cider vinegars and the wines and all those are 100% food use. But it has evolved certainly over the last 20 to 30 years tremendously.
When we think of large vinegar companies, I mean, I think of certain names that, because of growing up in Louisiana and seeing just names that are prominent on vinegar bottles. In America, I mean, how old is the vinegar industry? And was it originally only used for pickling or things like that? Well, what's the history of vinegar here?
Yeah, certainly in worldwide, it goes back centuries. But here in the U.S., there was a large company, and actually that's who my great-grandfather worked for, a company called Spies. And they had 20-something plants around the country. And this is one way it's evolved. They primarily made apple cider vinegar. And if you go back 50 to 100 years, apple cider vinegar was much more prominent. And then as the country certainly became very good at growing corn, corn costs lower. White vinegar is made from corn alcohol. So that has kind of taken the place of cider vinegar, and it's dropped back to a number two position there. Yeah. And if you look at the grocery store shelves today, there's certainly a lot more prepared food and pickles and things like that, where today's everybody working, you know, there's typically not a lot of folks staying home and making their own pickles. but have found a lot of other uses for vinegar. But that was the primary use. Very seasonal, very busy in the summer when gardens were ready and pickling everything from beets and cucumbers to all types of vegetables. And certainly a lot less home canning today.
You know, you said something very interesting a minute ago. I mean, I have a food manufacturing division, and it didn't really dawn on me, Matthew, how much vinegar we use.
I mean, I was thinking the same thing, John.
My God, we buy 50-gallon drums and we buy totes. We don't buy tankers yet of vinegar, but we probably should, because all of our barbecue sauces and condiments and glazes, and my God, there's over half vinegar in all of these. And it just dawned on me as you were talking, we're big vinegar buyers.
yes. I love to walk down the condiment aisle of a grocery store.
I bet you.
All those products have got our products in them. So
that's exactly
it's wonderful to see.
Wow, that's true. I didn't think about that. So much of the condiment business we're involved in, the large scale for chain accounts, so much vinegar being used in them. So you just kind of shook my brain here a minute that, hey, you're in the vinegar business too.
Yes. It's not only the flavor that it gives your barbecue sauce, it lowers the pH in the product.
That's
and
right.
It helps make it shelf-stable.
Absolutely.
Wow. Matthew, I understand that the fermentation of vinegar is similar to the fermentation of alcohol, but the result seems to be more like a very, very bad batch of wine. What stage of the process causes vinegar to go sour?
On vinegar, and kind of the way I look at it, you start with a sugar. Say it's a grape juice, just for simple purposes. So you've got a Brix level, a sugar level. You convert, and it's just a natural fermentation, an alcoholic fermentation that will convert that grape juice into grape wine. So instead of having sugar, you have alcohol. And then we take it the next step and convert the alcohol into acid. We use an acetobacter. It's a good bacteria that convert the alcohol into acid. The chemical name for vinegar is acetic acid. The different types of vinegar are really made up from the different raw materials. If we start with a rice alcohol, it's a rice vinegar. If it's the distilled vinegar, the way it gets its name is that the alcohol we buy is distilled. They distill 190 proof corn alcohol.
Right.
And that's why they call it white distilled vinegar.
Because then you're taking that alcohol and moving it to the next step, right?
So, correct. We convert that alcohol into
right.
acid.
Now, Matthew, is there a common ingredient in, say, rice, apples, sugarcane, wine that starts the fermentation process to create vinegar? Is there something that's common between all of them, or is just the process?
Well, they all can make, you can either make a starch or a sugar out of them, and once you get to that, you get to alcohol, and once you get to alcohol, you can get to acid. So it kind of just a rough look at it, grape juice, red wine vinegar are kind of the three
right,
stages.
Right, sure.
It's sugar, alcohol, acid.
Mm-hmm. We were talking a little bit about Steen's cane vinegar. It has a very mild taste, but not any sweeter than a rice vinegar. Coming from sugar cane, you'd think that wouldn't be the case.
Right. Well, what we do on the vinegar process, and first you've got the alcoholic fermentation, you convert that sugar into alcohol, and all the sugar is actually used up. So that sugar is converted to alcohol and then converted to acid. So you get a little bit of that grainy flavor or a malty flavor, or that's probably a product that's a little bit similar to a malt vinegar, but very unique, unique flavor and dark, rich color and a bit unique Louisiana.
Right. Now, Matthew, vinegar, you know, for our listeners out there, they know that vinegar has certainly evolved, not only in popularity, but in flavors and infusions and all that, with so many herbs and spices now being added. I mean, people are viewing it, whether they know how to use it or why they're using it, they know it's becoming almost a gourmet condiment in many of their homes, whereas you and I may look at it, because of the life we live, we may look at it as a gigantic raw material, you know, for something else.
Yeah.
But for the consumer out there, they're looking at it as a gourmet condiment. And I know you said that the evolution of this part of it began not that long ago. What drove that? What started people thinking about. I didn't see a lot of advertisements for gourmet vinegars. I didn't see a lot of advertisements for cane vinegars. Where do you think it first started, this evolution to move vinegar from just something that went into a pickle jar to this gourmet ingredient that's gone into a lot of things? Did you notice that happening?
It's certainly when you go to even a grocery store today, instead of, you've kind of got the white and cider vinegar down on the bottom half of the shelf, and then you've got the specialty section on the top, and that has grown a lot. But I think if you want to make a salad dressing at home or different sauces or marinades, those different vinegars certainly impart different flavors. And then if you look at the section next to that, the salad dressing aisle, and look at all the different vinaigrettes, and a lot of those, since vinegar is such an important part, you've got a red wine vinaigrette and a balsamic vinaigrette and an Asian vinaigrette that's probably got a rice vinegar base. So those vinegars carry that flavor through whatever product they're in, and certainly people are duplicating that at home. And certainly as a chef, you've seen it just continues to grow. Just the popularity of TV and the cooking channels have certainly helped drive some of this. But we've become a very chef-driven food business. We as an industry and certainly as another food company, we listen to chefs, and they set a lot of trends here in our country, and they tend to start at a restaurant, and before you know it, it's at a grocery store, and it just goes from there.
Well, you know, Michelle and I, as part of our television food shows and our publishing company, because we do a lot of cookbooks, and of course our radio show, we travel quite a bit in search of ingredients in food just to understand it. And of course balsamic kind of exploded a while back, and we weren't in Modena, but we actually had friends over in Parma where we went to see some of the older companies doing Trebbiano grapes, keeping them on the vine and then cooking those grapes and watching that process. And it was very interesting to us because balsamic was obviously getting so popular 20 years ago as well. But we know also that the balsamic that you get in the grocery stores today on the shelves is certainly not the aged, the lobster and the silver and the golds that you get, these 25, 30, 40, 50-year vinegars. What is the process difference between the balsamics that you can buy on the shelf at a very reasonable price that gives you at least a great facsimile versus the aged cooked balsamics of Modena? What's the difference?
And there are several, and there's all varying degrees and varying ages. And when we first started, and we partner with an Italian balsamic firm, and we import a lot of balsamic into the U.S. from Italy, and this product of Modena. And it started out, kind of like Jack Daniels or something. They had 5-year and 7-year, and then I think they started selling so much it kind of got away from years, and they went to vintage or 5-star, and so they didn't actually tie it to aging completely. Now there's an Italian consortium that have put together a system, a leaf system, and it's 1 through 4, with 4 being the most expensive, the best balsamic. And typically what they look for on what they consider the best, it's higher in Brix level, so it's sweeter, it's thicker, it's more reduced. And you do that by aging, evaporation
in the cask.
And some cooking, in some instances probably, to take some water out of the product, and continues to just make it denser and thicker and sweeter. And it's a sweet and sour, very unique, very popular flavor, certainly here in the U.S. I think we're the biggest market in the world, much bigger than Italy for that product.
No, absolutely. In fact, I guess we should say that the majority of those really long age, 25, at least those 25, 50-year vinegars are never leaving that continent over there because there's just not enough of it to ship.
Ship out.
I would dare say. But we have some great, great balsamics also for what we use vinegars for in America. There's not that many connoisseurs of 25-year-old vinegars that really care that much, that it's a gigantic market here. What would you say is the next thing that you're seeing in vinegars? Anything happening out there without giving y'all trade secrets, but anything happening in vinegars? I know pickles are very, very hot right now. There's a lot of chef-driven pickles. We're actually getting a lot of inquiries into specialized pickling, which, of course, requires specialized vinegars. But what are you thinking is coming around for vinegars in this age-old condiment of ours, you know?
Yeah, and that is one thing, and it's just like salad dressings. When you change from white vinegar to red wine vinegar, you've changed that salad dressing. So if you change from white vinegar to a cider vinegar on your pickles, you're going to get a fruitier, you know, a different note. And that's certainly a way, with that being the major ingredient for pickles. And as you'd mentioned, pickles have, I saw a restaurant in Chicago the other day that's just, their whole deal is the home canning and pickling, and it is becoming very popular. And even on the shelf, on the retail shelf, you're starting to see some offerings. That's one area. But just also, we do see some fruits being added to vinegar and some of the pomegranate and things like
right,
that.
Sure,
and
sure.
That has grown with some popularity. But all vinegar, really, the rice vinegar, as you'd mentioned earlier, has become
sure, very,
really
very popular as well. Now, what about vinegar in hot sauces? Because I notice a big thing y'all working with. And also the cane vinegars, which I think is especially almost of the Louisiana market in your company. Tell us a little bit about where those go, what make those different, especially the cane vinegars. We've been using them for a while, but tell our listeners a little bit about Steen's and the cane vinegar.
Yeah. No, the cane vinegar is a neat product that was developed there at Abbeville, and it ferment the cane syrup into an alcohol and then convert that into acid, and it certainly gives a more complex flavor, is what I would call it. There's just a lot more there. With white vinegar, distilled vinegar, you just get a clean, sharp note, and that's it.
Right.
This has just got a whole lot more to it. A neat restaurant there in Abbeville, Shucks, they do a nice job with a cane vinaigrette salad dressing, and they use the product in several other things, and it gives that everyday thing something different.
Well, you know, we're very good friends of the Steen folks as well as the hot sauce folks, and I know y'all involved in a lot of
them.
And a lot
the
of
hot
vinegar.
Sauce guys are, yes, they use lots of vinegar. they use tankers and tankers and tankers.
I know they
yes,
do.
Yes, the Cajun chef, Jimmy B. Yard, he uses lots of vinegar. All those fellas.
We're running out of time, but Matthew, I want to tell you, first of all, thanks so much for the great work that y'all do. Thanks for supplying us chefs out here with cane vinegar, because it does signify one of the unique ingredients that we can tie to Louisiana.
Certainly.
And we like to use it. And on your next trip in, I wish you'd give me a call here at our company. I'd love to sit down and talk to you not only about some of the things we're involved in, but also how we might be able to do some things together. It would be really, really wonderful. And I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today and sharing your knowledge of vinegars with us. Thanks a million.
Yeah, glad to do it.
Okay.
Glad to do it. Appreciate all of y'all's work.
No problem. All right, everybody. That's Matthew Moore. We'll be back in just a minute. We have some good recipes here.
Because you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. Sometimes it's nice to know what's behind the door.
What's happening musically in Dakar? Joburg, Kinshasa, Port Spain, Havana, Accra, Dar es Salaam, Cairo, Paris, New York. Well, tune in this week and every week to find out on Afropop Worldwide from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday night at 8 on KRVS.
Everyone, this is Pat Mitchell-Worley, and coming up on Bill Street Caravan, we've got a very special show as Bill Street Caravan pays tribute to one of our favorite artists. The late Diane Price was a Memphis musician, and we are going to spend the entire show with her. That, plus our feature host, Poppy Tooker, starts her series on food and the blues. That's all coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan.
Tonight at 11 on KRVS.
Comics avec Val. Bienvenue dans le monde francophone. C'est tous les jeudis à 9h sur KRVS, la radio Acadie.
We we return to the mountains of North Carolina and the Swannanoa Gathering this week on the Thistle and Shamrock, my guests are two American artists, each of whom followed a path to Ireland to discover their musical passions. Music and conversation this week from Brian O'Hert of the band Bua and from the duo Little Windows, Julie Glaub.
Coming up Sunday evening at 6, here on KRVS.
T'as des misères à réveiller le dimanche matin? Mais allume la radio avec moi, Louis Michaud, tous les dimanches matins, 7h jusqu'à 9h. On va charrer en français, écouter la musique en français et boire une petite tasse de café. Join me, Louis Michaud, if you have trouble waking up in the Sunday mornings. Just turn your radio to KRVS from 7 to 9 and hear me with Le Réveil, The Awakening en français.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and on the web at krvs.org. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.
Fish and chips and vinegar, pepper, 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 salt. Don't throw your junk in my backyard, my backyard, my backyard. Don't throw your junk in my backyard, my backyard's full.
One bottle of pop, two bottle of pop, three bottle of pop, four bottle of pop, five bottle of pop, six bottle of pop, seven bottle of pop, pop.
Fish and chips and vinegar, vinegar, vinegar. Fish and chips and vinegar, pepper, 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 salt. Don't wash your chops in vinegar, vinegar, vinegar. Don't wash your chops in vinegar, pepper, pepper, salt.
Well, y'all, we never promised you the best songs in the world on vinegar. We just promised you the only songs in the world on vinegar, but we found them, didn't we, Elslama?
Yes. Yeah, there it is.
And that's what it's all about on the big show, Research, Research. That's the way I look at it. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. And I wish to say Matthew Moore, president of Food Ingredients, Creole Fermentation in Abbeville, and, of course, his home office in Missouri. And Missouri, you know, Miscon Foods, that's a great company. Anyway, we want to thank Matthew for being with us. All of their information will be on our webpage. And make sure that Mariette puts that Creole Fermentation, because they do cane vinegar.
Yes,
and we want to promote those cane vinegars, absolutely. Anyway, Slama, what about the website? What about the Facebook and all that? Got a lot of action?
We want to let our stove hounds out there get on to our Facebook page. If you're not already a friend of us on Facebook, get on up there. What are you doing?
Stirring it up radio. Let me tell you what, they're not doing anything as exciting as this, so they need to jump on.
They need to get off the beach.
I'll tell you one thing I'm disappointed in. I am disappointed. You know, in Louisiana, we like to brag about our culinary prowess.
Yeah.
We love to brag about it, you know. But yet, we're having trouble having those smoke hounds. We're having trouble. You know what?
Where are the smoke hounds?
They're on the beach. They're smoking on the beach
right now. I don't want to hear what they're smoking on the beach. What I'm saying is this. We have opened the floodgates for opportunity to be the first person to make history smoking their recipe from raccoon to whole hog. It doesn't matter to us. Fish in our old smoky Cabanossi smokehouse, which you can see a picture of on our website. They go to John.
Maybe they need a little encouragement. Maybe we need to go ahead and have somebody on who has submitted a recipe.
Okay, yeah.
I'll tell you what I think. I think they're hiding out.
Hiding that recipe.
I think they're hiding that recipe. They can alter that recipe. That's what we do here on Stirring
Change
It Up.
A little bit.
Huh? We alter our recipe. Change it. Give the recipe of the person you stole it from.
I tell you, if we got a raccoon recipe, I would throw my vote in that direction.
Let me tell you what, my family's experts at coon smoke. Now, I think I might have to get a couple of my brothers on, it looks like. We might have the false throwdown.
That would be a show, all right.
That would be a show to get Babar and Larry and Jerry and line us all up there and do our favorite. We could all smoke the same thing, but with our own secret flavoring. Then we have a panel of judges judge the best smoke.
Goodness.
Of course, I'd be the judge. I mean, you know, we'll put professionals.
Yeah, we already know who won.
Anyway, so Facebook.com Stirring It Up Radio. And of course, you can listen to all previous shows right now.
We are archived at jfulce.com. Just click on the radio show link and you should be all tied up there. But if you want to discuss what's going on in the show, by all means, come on to our Facebook page at Stirring It Up Radio without the G, Stirring It Up Radio. And if you got any show ideas, if there's anything you'd like to hear the good chef talk about, come on Facebook.
Who are we talking about? The good chef.
The good chef.
That must be my brother, because he'd be talking about the great chef. If it'd be me, that must be my family he's talking about, huh? Anyway, no, that's a great idea. Let us know. We're always interested. I mean, we want our listeners to tell us if there's a topic out there that they've heard about. Well, I mean, that's how we got onto the smoking show a while back with Fish Tasso and Garfish.
Right, well, and it's just like 16 years we're celebrating today, but this is the first time we've ever done a vinegar show.
That's exactly right.
You know, it just kind of hit us one day.
I'm ready to be challenged out there, because I tell you what, there's no place Michelle and I won't travel. That's what she loves to do best, to find a topic and go ahead and discover it. She loves to do that traveling to find something.
Right on.
That's right.
So anyway, Michelle, what about talking about traveling? What about books on the subject of vinegars? Because, again, I encourage everybody to go to our website just to look in the past archives. Look at the books that we have prodded you to add to your shelves based on just like this, vinegar. What, do you have a vinegar book on your shelf? I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, you know, they say don't judge a book by its cover. But I'm looking at a very enticing cover right here. And I don't know about you. I'm going to Tuscany, do a little research.
Yeah, in your wildest dreams. Didn't I? I brought her to Italy already to do research on vinegars and hadn't heard one thing since. That was 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, my word.
Work in progress, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. My cheese is still over there.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, this book is called Flavored Oils and Vinegars, written by Ann Kleinberg. Beautifully illustrated, lots of color photographs, about 50 recipes for flavoring your own oil and vinegar. She uses herbs, she uses spices. Some of the flavored oils are great for serving with warm breads, some with cheeses. Others are meant to be mixed with herb-infused vinegars. It's a great little book for experimenting with different oils and different vinegars. I love it. Flavored Oils and Vinegars. The other book that I'd like to recommend is kind of for all the home remedy lovers. The title is Vim and Vinegar by Melody Moore. And the rest of the title, the subtitle, is very interesting. So it's Vim and Vinegar, Moisten Cakes, Eliminate Grease, Remove Stains, Kill Weeds, Clean Pots and Pans, Soften Laundry, Unclog Drains, Control Dandruff, Season Salads. And that about says it all, doesn't it?
That's what vinegar does, all of it.
Does all of that the natural way. The old standby white vinegar that we've been talking about, that every home has to have, this book is a handy guide on how to use that white distilled vinegar. Lots of uses. One of the tips that I learned for cat lovers, whose cats tend to enjoy their gardens, place a little distilled vinegar-soaked paper or cloth near the area, and that keeps the cat out of the garden.
I bet so. Little vinegar-soaked sponge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So both of those are great, great books for your culture and culinary library.
You know, it reminds me of a story, Salama. I was listening to a speaker one day, and he was talking about how companies have really gone out of their way to create images of use of their product that's unconventional, but yet sells a lot of product. And, you know, when you think about vinegar being added to sponges to keep cats out of the garden, that's a good way to sell vinegar, right? Because everybody wants, or in Louisiana, armadillos or something like that. You
okay,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
The funniest one I heard was that, you know, you keep a box of this baking powder or baking soda in your refrigerator, right?
Yeah.
So you keep a little orange box in there. The speaker was very funny because he says he found out that there was this huge rise in this baking powder many years ago, but nobody was really knew that you could cook with it. You know, most people bought it for their refrigerator.
To clean out the odor.
Yeah, clean out the odor. And then they said, after that, after it sat in your refrigerator, they said you should be changed every 2 months and it should be poured down your drain because it kills the bacteria in your trap and it cleans your drain out. So they said that this company had really expanded the production of that baking powder, but nobody was baking with it. It was all going in the refrigerator to get smells out of the refrigerator. drain, then you pour it down the drain. So people were pouring extra down the drain. Talk about pouring your money down the drain.
Well, and now they have the cat deodorizer bacon soda that you can
get. You see what I'm talking about?
So they've expanded further.
Well, y'all, let's talk about recipes here for a minute, because today, of course, talking vinegars, it's very easy to assume that we might want to do a nice and spicy coleslaw dressing on herb, lemon and herb vinegar just by infusing it, or maybe a marinade that you would use, you know, to go on top of a meat or something like that. Let me give you my recipe for a wonderful sugarcane vinegar. Y'all, so what I want you to do is to take 1 liter of cane sugar juice. Now, you can buy that. You can buy cane, like companies.
A liter.
A liter, that's right. Well, you know, like a gallon.
That's a lot.
Well, you can. And if you're in Cajun country, it's easy to find, because most sugar mills or most are like Steen's cane syrup, makes their syrup out of cane juice.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get fresh squeezed cane juice, and I think you can even buy it in the stores now, but 1 liter of cane sugar juice. That's the fresh squeezings. To every liter, and you probably want to begin with 2 liters, you put a quarter pound of sugar in the cane juice and stir it around and mix it really, really well. Then to each liter, you're going to add 1/4 cake of yeast. You know, you get the yeast cakes in the store. You take 1/4 cake and you break it up. It's like powder. You know, you can break it up inside of the cane juice and you stir it around really, really good. And at that point, if you wish to flavor it further, you can add sweet potatoes to it, or just chopped up sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes.
Orange rind. You can, peaches. Whatever.
What are we making?
Cane vinegar.
Just spice it up
a little bit. Oh, okay. You're making your own vinegar, but you're going to begin with 1 liter of cane juice, fresh cane juice, rather than red wine or something like that. Then you get to that liter, you're going to add 1/4 pound of sugar. You're going to stir it into the juice. Then to that, you're going to add 1/4 cake. You can get yeast cakes in the store. And you're going to take 1/4 of that cake and you're going to break it up. Then to that, you can leave it alone, or you can add different type of fruits, sweet potato, oranges. You can add grapes to it. You can add whatever you want to it. And you stir that around. You put it in a little crock, cheesecloth on top of it for 2 weeks.
Hmm.
Just leave it alone.
Cool,
dark place. For 2 weeks. After that, you strain all of it. After 2 weeks, it's kind of infused a little bit. The yeast has done its trick, and you know what it's done. It's turned that into alcohol. Remember, that's what he was saying. So you got to turn it into alcohol. Then you go to your local health food store, and you get raw vinegar. And raw vinegar, of course, is uncooked. It's got the mother in it, and it's just that white, as I say, it's kind of a gummy mass that forms on. Now you see it, you think it's a spoiler, you think it's got mold on it or something. Well, that's the mother in the vinegar bottle. You take that, you can buy like a pint of it, and then you pour it into your crock that's been strained, and you pour that in, and or like I do, in a wooden cast. That's what I do. You got a little wooden barrel. You see one in my office.
You got something real in there?
I got to go see it. It's in my office right now. And then you can pour, that's where you pour wine and other things into that cask. But this would be a really nice flavor. You can have peach flavors if rustin' peaches are in. You can have plums in season, which would give a vinegar a beautiful purple flavor. But then, as I say, you add the pint of mother into it, and you cover it again nice and tight, and you just let it sit in that cool, dark place. You can let it sit in there a year. It'll just continue to make, and you can pour other, like I say, if it's got a half a barrel of vinegar in there, then you can add a bottle of old wine or something you don't like into it, red, white, or you can put whatever you'd like in liquids into it, alcohol into it that would continue to ferment, and you make your own beautiful infused cane vinegar. So you can do that. Very easy to do. Very, very easy. And the starter is always over at the store, over at the health food store. You buy the mother, the raw vinegar. And it all begins with the cane juice, the 1/4 pound of sugar, stir it together, and 1/4 pound of yeast cake for 2 weeks, and then infuse it with any flavors you want at that point, and then you go ahead and make things happen. And you can do that at home. You can do it in a gallon jar at home, okay? So, Michelle, do you want me to give you a nice lemon and herb vinegar?
Okay, that sounds good.
You want me to give you that? Okay, y'all, you're going to begin that. This lemony vinegar is really refreshing. I mean, it's great. It's a great change in your typical salad dressings. And the recipe adds herbs and garlic for just that extra flavor. But I'm going to begin here since it is a lemon and herb vinegar, the zest of four lemons. They're just cut into those twirls, you know. So you're going to begin with that, the zest of four lemons. Then you're going to add a bunch of lemon-scented thyme. That's the little thyme leaves that's got the little yellow speck in the middle.
I think I have some growing.
I bet you do have some growing. If you better get it quick if you're growing it. then you're going to take 4 cups of white wine vinegar. That's a quart, right? Mm-hmm. So you take a quart of vinegar, 2 cups of a good white wine.
Okay.
So now you got 6 cups of liquid, 4 cups of white wine vinegar, and 2 cups of white wine. Into that, you're going to add 6 cloves of garlic that are peeled and just kind of just smashed a little bit. And you drop that into that gallon jar. You're going to put 3 bay leaves into it as well. You with me?
Yeah.
So now you got that your wine and your vinegar together with your garlic and your leaves. Then you're going to put the zest of the lemons into it that's been put into these little decorative curls. Then you're going to put a bunch of lemon-scented thyme. Just leave them on the sprigs, you know what I mean? Don't take just the leaves off. Just kind of put them in there. And when I say a bunch, you know, you'll, in the store, you buy them in just kind of wrapped, and you know that's a bunch. And then you're going to go ahead and put all of that together, and you're going to pour it into a sterilized jar. You're going to seal that jar and allow the mixture to infuse at room temperature for 4 weeks. You with me?
Yeah.
4 weeks, you're going to let just sit there. Then you're going to, after a month, and of course you can leave it longer than that. You just cannot leave it less than that. The longer you leave it, the more infusion you're going to get. So don't rush it. Using a sieve, you're going to strain it, and then I would strain it again through cheesecloth, and then pour it into sterilized bottles and discard everything else and store that vinegar in a cool, dark place, and you're going to have your own homemade lemon, garlic, and herb vinegar. It's absolutely fantastic.
Use that on salads?
Use it on salads.
Or you can marinate?
Use that marinade, whatever you like. Anyway, y'all, go out there and make a little vinegar. It's easy to do. And go to a store and go to one of those health stores, and you can buy that mother, and you can make vinegar out of anything that has alcohol in it. Y'all, see you next week.